Gracious God, we give thanks for your word. We pray that as we meditate upon your word today, that you will guide us and help us in our hearing, that we shall know you to be able to express you better. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, we got two people here that are called by the Lord again. First Peter has to be called back by the Lord. He had denied him three times, and to have Jesus ask him, do you really love me, three times made sense. You kind of think of it as a type of confession, if you will. Here is Jesus saying to him, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Do you really love me? Yeah, I really love you. If it were my mother, she would say, do you love me? I said, yes. Well, then how come you ate the pie? You really love me? Yeah, Mom, I love you. Well, how come you ate the pie? And then she would figure out what to do about me eating the pie. In this case, it's basically saying to him a confession. You denied me three times. Now you've accepted me three times. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to know that your life is no longer your own. Think about it. Follow me. I'm sending you out. You're going to go places. You're going to do things in my name. And it will be not because you want to, but because I call you to do that. I call you to follow me. And certainly Peter becomes a major force in the growth of the church. West. We want to deal with Peter and Paul today. We're not diminishing what the other disciples were doing following Jesus, but we want to deal with them today. So here's Peter, and certainly he kind of vacillates a lot through the book of Acts, but he winds up in the right place. Now we have Paul. And here's a guy that's well educated. That evidently is really great about speaking. He gets people on his side. He can talk to them. He can pound the pulpit, if you will. He brings people to what he wants to do, which is to end Christianity. He sees it as a threat to Judaism. He sees that as a threat politically to Judea. He sees this Christianity is a is actually against God's teaching. And Christianity no longer is going to worship Yahweh, it's going to worship Christ. That's what he's saying. So he goes to the temple, they give him letters saying, we give this man the authority to go out and stomp out Christianity. He's going to put an end to it. And he's doing a pretty good job. Martyrs, one of the Christian disciples. He goes along and he says to people, are you a Christian? No, not me. I'm not a Christian. And it's a good thing because you know what we do? We beat you up. He's going doing all this and suddenly he's going from Damascus. He's going there and he's going to stomp out any of the word. Any followers of Christ. Anyone who has seen Christ or seen him in their heart, anyway, all of that. And he gets knocked off his horse, he's blinded, and he hears a voice. Ends up in Damascus. A Christian brings him in and takes care of him. The Christian didn't want to. He said, hey, Lord, yeah, just let this guy starve to death where he's at. He's blinded. Just let him starve together where he's at. And Lord, that way we won't have this problem. He won't be in here telling us that we can't be Christians. He won't be in here persecuting us. Jesus said, no, no. And after 3 days, he tells him to touch the eyes. These crusty things fall off. And Paul can see again. And he's converted through Christ's word. Through Christ's spirit. Through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's converted, and Jesus uses him, his spread the word to the West. So here's these two men. Paul was a major mover and shaker. In fact, I would say that he was the leader in spreading Christianity throughout the West. And when I talk about West, this is the Roman Empire, the world going towards Rome, Judea. You talk about his different missionary journeys, all the churches that he planted, all the people that he converted. Talk about Peter and the Day of Pentecost, and how his work. Talk about his work in first of all supporting Paul and the Gentiles, and then kind of vacillating back and then coming back to Paul and the Gentiles, saying, yes, this is the way we need to go. And between the two of them, as well as disciples that followed them, as well as all the people they met that they established churches in, a commitment was made for Jesus Christ, for the new, for being able to have salvation, being able to confess sins, for the new life that is found in Christ, for eternal life that is offered, all because of them. Now, think about that. This is how they live their lives. And they both get martyred. The story of Peter is that he's running away from Rome because the Romans are after him and going to come to kill him. And he meets a man on the road and realizes it's Jesus. And Jesus says to him, where are you going? He says, I'm running away so that they can't catch me and kill me. And he says, where are you going to Jesus? And Jesus said, I'm going into Rome. Peter turns around, goes back in, and is crucified upside down. It just depends on the story you're listening to. It's a great story. However you hear. And Paul, we know, was also a Roman citizen, and so he was able to claim citizenship, and in order for them to martyr him, he had to have a hearing before Caesar. And he's taken to Rome, and he's imprisoned there. And finally, somewhere around in there, 63, 64, 65, he is finally martyred. They're both dead. And the churches that they built thrive. The churches that they built have leadership. The churches that they built have problems. Just like churches today. They have problems. They have people in them that want to go this way, and people in them want to go this way, and they have the evangelists coming in and making statements that aren't true do not speak the word of Jesus Christ as it was. And it was a problem. But the churches thrived. They lived on until the great persecutions. And I guess that really put the rubber to the road to the Christians. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. We're going to kill you. I'm still a Christian. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. We're going to feed you the lions. I'll go singing. I'll go with joy. Committed people in churches. I have to tell you, yesterday we were sitting in the car and I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about Bible study. And I thought, well, if we had another little epistle we could read and go through, we'd have a one-day Bible study this Wednesday. So I felt like I needed to do that if everybody wanted to have a Bible study. So I thought, I haven't read Jude in a long time. And I read Jude. Jude was written sometime between 66 and 70. It was written after the martyrdom of Peter and Paul, but before the destruction of the temple. So we can put it right into that area. And he's writing the letter to the churches saying, be careful. Look at what you're doing. Get back to basics of Jesus Christ, the Lord your God. Get back to the basics that the Spirit has called you to. Be careful. You have people who are corrupting the church. They are, they are coming into the church and claiming to be Christians, but they're not really Christians. There it is. Dear friends, I eagerly write you about the salvation we share. I felt compelled to write you to urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped among you. They come in for a lot of reasons. They come in because they can get more business. Okay? They came in to you so that they could have more food. They get to eat. They come into you for all kinds of reasons. They come into you for sexual immorality. I once pastored a church, and Priscilla remembers, one time that I had to tell someone they weren't welcome was a man that came in and kept hitting on all the teenage girls. I'm a Christian. He could talk a good talk. But that's not what he was looking for. Okay? They're coming into you for all of these reasons that are not Christian reasons. Be careful. Don't let them guide you away from Jesus Christ. Don't let them guide you to the secular side, if you will. Oh, well, I'm here to, because I'm a mechanic, and I believe in Jesus Christ. And I think that you should tell people that they should only go to Christian mechanics, since I'm the only one here. Right? Okay? Nobody said, well, what does it mean to you to be a Christian? What does it mean to you to follow Christ? Why are you a Christian? Do you feel the Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Spirit? Do you feel the love for Jesus Christ? Do you love me? Three times. Why are you here? Now, some people come in and they say, yeah, I'm here because I feel like I need to go to church. And of course, that probably isn't going to be bad for my business anyway. They come in and we teach them. And all of a sudden they say, oh, wow. And they receive the Spirit. And they're there not because of their business. They're there to worship Christ. They're there to reach out to other people and use their business in order to reach those people. And they're always talking about Jesus Christ. I'm standing here judging, and I shouldn't be, but I'm sorry. Jude said I should. It's kind of like Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. It's not that we're judging, it's that we need to understand that the wolves are out there and they're coming in the door. And every time we have Bible study, God, can you believe what's going on in the world? It was going on then too. It really was. You know, how could there be a Christ and a God and a Holy Spirit when things like Columbine happened? You know who they shot at Columbine? People who would not denounce Christ. Teenagers who said, no, I am a Christian and I will not give up my faith. That's who. Just like the Christians who were fed to the lions, they went in there joyfully. I am Christian, look at me. I'm not afraid of this body's death. I'm not afraid of going to my Lord. I look forward to seeing Jesus' face. And Columbine hurt personally. I knew some of the kids. I know of one girl, Daryl Schramm's daughter. She was in the library. And for some reason, they said to the person next to her, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Will you denounce? No, bang. They looked at her and moved on. And Daryl said she's got survivor's guilt so bad at that time. He said, she'll never be the same. My daughter would have gone to Columbine, except for we've been called away so many times. She might have been in that library. Well, let's talk about other things. We look at our lawmakers today. What do they want to do with Christianity? Stomp it out, because you know why? Christianity serves the poor. Christianity says people are free. Christianity says there's another way of life other than this way that's going on over here. Therefore, you can't have a Bible on your desk. You can't speak Christian when you're around other people. And it's working to some extent. How many of us will sit down with a group and talk about just about anything but will not bring up Jesus Christ? Because we're afraid of offending someone. That's what Jude's talking about. If we're Christians, we are speaking and living and joyfully reaching out to others with the word. And I have to tell you, I'm as much of a sinner about this as anybody else. Reaching out to everybody. The word of the love. The word of the triune God. The word that says that there is a better way of life, which is eternal. The word. Everything that Paul had and Peter had built to that point was coming under attack. They were coming to a home and they were saying, are you a Christian? No, no. Do you have any of the Christian things? Do you have any of the letters? Do you have any? If you turn them over to us, we will leave you alone. And they did. Fear. And we have that fear today. There isn't anything different. But we are called and receiving Christ joyfully. Combat that through the word. Through the word. To speak out and say, this is not right. This country was founded by, but God calls us to. You cannot tell me I can't, because Christ, a higher power, tells me I am and I should and I will. Maybe that's what we need to be preaching. That there is no reason to fear the word. The word will sustain us. And in preaching the word and reaching out to others in the word and reaching out to others in the love and reaching out to others in our second commandment, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Right? And saying to them in the first commandment, I shall love my love God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all my heart, all my soul, and all. Gracious and loving God, we praise your name. We give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ. We give thanks for the freedom that you give us, but we also give thanks for the call and the leadership that you give us. We give thanks that in our hearts we know your Son. We just pray that you would help us to not have the fear. Help us to open our mouths and our hands and our hearts. Help us to confront those who may not be using your word properly. Help us to confront the sin in the world. Help us to reach out to others that they might also be a part of the movement of Christ, the movement of truth. pray this in his name.